life is not going to get easier. You're going to lose your mother. You're going to lose your father. People are also going to hurt you, even though you don't even know what you did wrong. Things like this are going to happen in this lifetime. To wait for better times to come, where the world will be completely in peace and you can walk peacefully over the street, never having the fear that somebody's going to come and do something to you. It's not going to happen. The world is just the way as it is. If we don't create the better times, nothing's going to happen. Once the cup is empty, now it can be filled up again.
I realize you go higher, you go even more alone, because nobody is willing anymore to invest their energy in going higher.
How does somebody become lost? I think it's never correct to generalize in a way, because like I initially also said before, you never know where the people are coming from and through what type of circumstances and situations they already went through. So there might be a lot of variables which ultimately lead to the fact why you maybe have been on the path already. But something happened in between, some obstacles showed up that make you stagnate, that make you sometimes lose the path.
It has been quite a privilege being able to grow up in two quite different ways of life. And a master from the Shaolin Temple once told me a story that I would like to share with you. A man was living close to a mountain, and every day he was thinking, how would it be to climb that mountain, and what would I see on the peak? How did you get up the mountain, and what did you see from the top? And so the traveler shared his path and also the view that he had. But then the man was thinking, the way that this traveler described to me sounds very exhausting. I need to find another way to climb. So he continued to walk on the foot of the mountain until he met the next traveler. So once again he asked, okay, now at today's talk, you will have the chance to become inspired by quite a lot of different travelers. But in this particular talk, I can't and I won't tell you which way to go. It's just that along your personal journey, you will encounter challenges. We refer to them as the five hindrances. The five hindrances are describing different states of the mind. All of our lifetimes, all of our lives are too unique to copy the past from someone else. To bring meaning to your life, to bring value into your life, you need to learn and master yourself. And don't let the hindrances stop you. If any of you chooses to climb that path to clarity, I will be very happy to meet you at the peak.
The easy answer would right now be learn how to meditate. Okay? But to really bring it into perspective right now, overthinking is either something inside of the mind is fluctuating all the time. There is too much input available and it's jumping from one to another. So in a way, there is that type of restlessness of the mind. It's continuously jumping, which means it's too much. So you're thinking about too many different things. This is one type of overthinking. Overthinking can also mean you only have one thing that is like keeping you busy, but you are turning it over and over again and never come to any type of conclusion. It's also a type of overthinking related to, let's say, one subject. So these are now simplified, the two problematic states. Problematic if you don't have the ability to switch it off, if you want to switch it off. Yeah, if you have the ability to regulate this about yourself. So when you want to be focused, you can be focused. When you want to dream, you can dream. If you want to make your brainstorming, you can open up for brainstorming. If this is the range of adjustment you have about yourself, then it's not a problem. A problem is if you need to stay focused, but then you're shattered. These are the moments when it makes sense to learn methods, how to avoid that, or how to really focus when you need focus. Now, I wouldn't say that the right approach would be to state that focus is the only right way. No, we have focus in this life, which means there is something, there's a limited type of view you're putting yourself in, because this limited type of view is the collection of awareness, it's the collection, the summary of intention into a specific spot that you want right now to make it grow faster or to develop faster. That's why we need focus, that all the energy is bundled into that one focus point. So you want to push something forward, you need focus. But how, amongst all this variety of options that we humans sometimes have, how do you know on what should I focus? Should I focus on the social media? Should I focus on my family? Should I focus on that number, business number one? Or should I focus on business number two? Should I focus on wife number one or wife number two? Yeah, there's so many different options. And therefore, what you need is overview sometimes about your life. Overview, the wide view, the wide angle is different than focus. The focus is, I only watch you. I'm focused. But the more I get into that limited view, the more I will forget about she's sitting there, there's your brother, there are your friends. So what needs to be learned and is able to be developed is you have both sometimes at the same time. I know who is sitting where, but at the same time I also know in which direction I'm pointing my words to. So that means on the one side there is something open at this moment in time, but at the same time also you have something focused. And to have and learn the ability to access this, let's say with your mind, to train your mind that he is always like in this category, because it's like you're driving the car. Of course it matters what you're doing in regards to the steering, so it's like the direct focused interaction, yeah, but only in interplay with all the other drivers on the street. So what is now more important, to focus on the others or to focus on your driving? Both of it at the same time. Only this focus and the openness at the same time. This is what means yin and yang cannot be separated. But in order to get there, sometimes it's necessary to individually, separately practice, okay, this now is a focused state and this one right now is an open state. Yeah? To be very clear and be able to distinguish for yourself. Okay, this is the focus, it feels like this. This is the open, it feels like that. And now comes the magic about it, how to combine both into the same time. Yes, and this is something everybody will need to figure out. This is when the magic happens and you are stopping from the separation of either that or that into it's both of it at the same time. And now in regards to this overthinking, so what is it that people, for example, are able to practice? There I can suggest, for example, you are choosing one object, which can be in a lot of cases an object that we call, that is your meditation object. It can be the breath, for example. So instead of following up what comes into your mind, which means if you have too many thoughts, we turn it around. You are deciding what you are going to put onto your mind for the next 5 minutes. Whatever it is, whatever you choose, this is your so-called meditation object. So that means I am telling myself, okay, for the next 5 minutes, I am going to only place my attention, my mind, on the breath. So I feel how the breath enters into my body, and I also feel how it is coming out of my body. This is when you use the breath, for example. Yeah. Other people, if they find it too hard still, you can use this type of movement. So what is your meditation object is now, let's say, the movement. It's the movement itself, the up movement, the down movement. But the focus is there. So this is a way of what we call mindful. You are mindful of what you do. Your mind is full of something. Yeah, full of what? Full of what you have put into it. That's why then you call it mindful practice. I know exactly where I put my hands. I make it slow. It doesn't really matter what type of movement it is. It is only as long as I do it, I know what I do. So I don't leave, let's say, these movements right now to coincidence. No, you learn for 2 minutes, 3 minutes to take something in full responsibility and awareness of what you are able to concentrate on. And this is a so-called, we sometimes also call them mind exercising or mind development practices. Because it's not about the movement itself. To just do this movement, it's not going to bring you too much benefit, let's say, physically. Right now, not yet. But this is, yeah, this slow movement and all of that. That is there for you to, first of all, learn to focus the mind. Learn to focus the mind. This number one. And afterwards, after you realize, okay, actually right now, I can feel that in the moment where I start to have conversations with people, you know when you are present or not. Yeah, you are starting to feel that, okay, now my awareness is not with you, it's gone, no? And then you feel, what is the difference between now I'm mindful, now I'm not mindful? Because this ability to distinguish is therefore so essential. Because if there is something that we humans can do about our life, then it can only be done while you are mindful. If you don't know you have a problem, you can't solve it. And that's it. So the whole point of why is there so much this emphasis on mindfulness? Yeah? Why should I know what I do? Because if you don't know what you do, your life is a coincidence. And that's not what it's supposed to be. It is supposed to be what you put onto your mind, what you want to see yourself, the way how you want to see yourself, what you want to achieve in this lifetime. It should be possible, but only if with the allowance of what has been given into your own hands, if you also use this chance. And like I said in our first, in the first time that we were meeting, I strongly think and believe that we all have something that comes from us, that we have in our hands. And if that potential that we have in our hands is merged with our awareness and with our action, and then at the same time also is combined with the will of God or the will of the destiny or destiny itself, then it's going to happen. But if you put something onto the mind which is not in harmony with the will of the nature, with the will of God, with the destiny, you can try as much as you want. It's not going to happen. So, what is this discovery once again about? Discover your place in this hugeness and submit. But submit doesn't mean it's bad. It means that it's incredible that something like this exists. This is the submission. Submission, it's not in terms of you give up. No,
It's not you give up life. No, you finally allow the fullness of life to flow through you. This is called submission. So you can always understand these wordings in different ways. But the one I'm talking about right now is allow life to run through you. You can express it in terms of what happens, happens for a reason. Yeah? If something happens, and this is why it's so important, that acknowledgement. Because acknowledgement is the first step of understanding all of what we go through belongs to the process. And what is this process? For example, everybody, every human in this world, I think, is going to different stages of challenges, let's call them like this. These challenges can be, for example, let's just take one, loss, losing something. There was a time when we all were still small child, and when somebody took something away from you, maybe some of us were already crying, because already very young you felt what losing means, to lose something that actually you like. Now then, teenager, 10 years later, somebody took again something away from you, same feeling. Nowadays, somebody takes something away that you strongly feel like it belongs to you, the same feeling comes up. So what I'm saying is, throughout all the decades, the feeling of loss, it's always the same. The situations, the circumstances, they change. Why that feeling comes up? But the point is, it's the same. The feeling of loss is the feeling of loss. If you're angry about your car gets scratched, or you're angry about you lost something, or you're angry about somebody took something from you, the angriness is also the same. If you're jealous, you're jealous. There are not 50 different types of jealousy. There are 50 different reasons why you become jealous. But the jealousy is the same. The angriness is the same. The loss is the same. The hate is the same. The joy is the same. The happiness, it's the same. And so what I think is going, what I think is happening, is that each human being is confronted with loss. And now the question is, how are you individually dealing with that now? And as long as you have not found a solution to deal with loss, losing is going to be part of the challenges you will face over and over and over again. Once you have managed and found a solution in regards to loss, there will be things coming up that make you angry, because the next challenge is overcome angriness. Small things make you angry, big things make you angry. It's always the same angriness until you found a solution. No, the anger cannot manage me. It must be the other way around. Anger solved. Then comes the next one. Question of life and death, of fear. Until you have solved the answer for yourself, how to deal with fear. And why I'm now pretty convinced to state the things like this is because there is so much similarity to the way and the reasons why we have this type of hardening methods coming from the Shaolin Kung Fu training. Hardening meaning, like you saw also before from Shifu Yanlei when he was hitting himself, we have many tools inside that you can use to get in touch with pain. We necessarily take into consideration that this is going to happen. We know when you start touching that, when you start doing these methods, the pain is gonna come. We want it to come. Why? Because now you can go in. Now you can really go in and on the go, in the present moment. That is the special part about it. In the present moment, you figure out the way how to release it. And there is that saying, when you have went over, when you have overcome a certain level of pain,
Overcome means it's never going to come again. It's finished. You walk through that level of pain one time. The next pain you will feel is a different one. It's not the same anymore. So there is a difference between something shows up in your lifetime and you are ignoring it. You are avoiding it. You're trying to run away from it. And you face it. You face the anger. You face the fear. You face the jealousy. You face the pain. You face what you don't like. You face the fact that you are out of your comfort zone. Why? Because you know that once you have overcome it and find a solution for it, it's solved for this lifetime. And this is my suggestion, to view these methods sometimes to make yourself there's that nice saying, yeah, life is not going to get easier. It's just that your mind and your body become more resistant, more strong. Same situation, more relaxed. Why? Because you finally start to find a solution that is within your reach, within your hands. And I think the great part for me personally, why I'm still after so many years like this approach about the physical practice combined with the spiritual mental development like in the Shaolin Temple, is because there are many institutions, many philosophies that talk about overcome the suffering, ending the suffering, but end the suffering, but overcome the suffering, that gives now for me perspective. Overcome the suffering means it's going to be there. You're going to lose your mother. You're going to lose your father. You're going to lose animals and humans that you love. It's going to happen. You're going to lose money. And at the same time, people are also going to hurt you, even though you don't even know what you did wrong. Things like this are going to happen in this lifetime. To wait for better times to come where the world will be completely in peace and you can walk peacefully over the street, never having the fear that somebody's going to come and do something to you. It's not going to happen because the world is just the way as it is. But knowing this, preparing yourself, learning the right ways or useful ways that are developing yourself physically and mentally to be able to walk through this lifetime. That's possible. That is something that is available to us. It's just you need to get rid of those fantasies that better times are going to come. If we don't create the better times, nothing's going to happen. Coming from the ancient views and the ancient philosophies, especially now talking about Taoism, there is the term the Tao, which is translated as the way. But this way sometimes is not considered of being the way that you are deciding for yourself which one to walk, let's say. It is always the combination, in my opinion, in my view. It is the purpose to, on the one side, discover what is in your field of possibilities and at the same time what is your, let's call it, destiny at the same time. That there is something about the outcome of our future, the outcome of our life, dependent on the way how you think, what you think, the way what you talk, how you talk, and what you do and how you do the things. This is something directly related to your actions, to your personality. But at the same time, I have to call them other forces, which are also interfering and which are also having a huge impact upon the outcome of your efforts. So therefore, the whole approach, once again, is to become more aware of yourself. This is the answer of finding out what is it actually that has made you lose the way. Maybe even you never even realized what is the way. And so therefore, the initial point is to take a step back especially taking a step back and realizing what is it that you are at the moment surrounded with, that all the time from the morning until the evening is maybe interfering with your own thoughts. It's necessary to really be aware. Are the ideas that you are having about life, are the ideas how you are supposed to develop within this life, are these ideas really coming from you? Or is it something that you have just grasped from the outside? Because maybe from the government, from the society, from the advertisements that you are seeing being surrounded with. A lot of people nowadays, I think, are being influenced by that. And the issue here is that you sometimes are just not conscious about it. So in the moment where you are becoming more aware, where you are becoming more conscious about what is actually going on, this is that initial starting point where I would say this opens chances, because we can only fix a problem, we can only tackle a problem if we know where it is located. And if you are still searching somewhere on the outside to blame someone, or to blame any situation, or to blame any organization, or even to blame the government or whatsoever, as long as you are watching outwards and search for a guilty one without pointing the finger at yourself, in our understanding, in our way of how we see the things, it is the wrong approach. Because feeling lost, meaning you are feeling lost, it is something inside of yourself that you feel is not in the proper state. It's not the people that you are surrounded with that are feeling lost. It is something that is directly linked with your inner being. So if your inner being needs something to be fixed, you need to make it internally. You need to make it inside of yourself. Of course, it can mean that your inside at the moment is still being triggered many times by external circumstances. But that is exactly dependency that we want to get rid of. Because as long as your internal being is so strong connected to external circumstances, you are not going to find the peace, and you will especially not find the proper ways how you are able to find your own path. I think it is a very, very difficult endeavor, let's say, to try and walk through this lifetime only by yourself. It is something extremely helpful to either have close friends, to have a brotherhood, to have a community, to have people that you are surrounding yourself with, where you are feeling that there is something you have in common, or what we also sometimes call where there is resonance between you. And sometimes you meet a person, and if you are aware enough and you start your conversations, you will feel that maybe the way how that person is behaving, the things this person is talking, there is something that is resonating with yourself. And just by taking this word resonating, resonance means there is something getting into the same wavelength, something getting in the same swing, in the same frequency as what you already are carrying inside. It is similar, like, why do people have different tastes when it comes to music? Why are there some beats you like to hear, and they are like music for your ears, but other type of tracks, they are hard for you, they are more like disturbing maybe for you? And at least my theory and my understanding is that because there is something from the past maybe already that you are carrying inside of you, you are starting to re-remember something. Re-remember that you maybe heard these sounds before, that you were maybe in contact with these type of frequencies before. And so every time when you feel there is something where you quickly come in resonance. It could mean that you are just starting off to re-remember a place where you have been before. So you're just starting to continue from that moment on. On the other side, it doesn't mean that if you are witnessing something and you're not in resonance with it, it also doesn't mean that there is no possibility in there. Because everything that is unknown to you, everything that in the moment is disturbing to you, that is in a way a challenge to you, like we mentioned before, these are also chances. But right now, when we are talking about somebody feeling lost, somebody not knowing what is my own path, one way of, let's say, starting a journey is to just start by socializing, start by getting to know different people, talking with the people, and figuring out if there's anything during those conversations where you directly feel that is something I'm resonating with. Because if these ideas at the moment don't come from you, that's not a problem. But then we need at the moment, at this moment in time, maybe just some additional support from the outside. And all humans are the same. On the one side it's right, on the other side it's not right. All humans are the same and all humans are unique. Somewhere along these humans, there are people you are resonating with. So you are definitely not alone along this path. But to give up and think that that you are a lost case, there are no lost cases. Unless you give yourself up, then it is lost. But if you for yourself keep that spark inside of you and just try at least and find someone else that is on the same wavelength, I think that is a chance. That there is something being transmitted and transferred from generation to generation, even if it was not our choice in a way, which goes for biological features that we have, but at the same time also goes for knowledge, spiritual development, energetic development. And so when I talk about a place or something where you're resonating with, resonating means something is getting into the same frequency. So in the moment where I'm in a situation and that situation has a certain frequency and I feel I'm getting in resonance with it, what it means for me is there must be something inside of me that already has memorized these patterns of that movement, let's say. So that means I must have been there before. Something about me must have heard, must have felt that type of situation before. And if this is the case, then I cannot tell you if it was from this life, if it was from another experience, but it's out of question that I must have been there before. Elsewise, it would not suit that example of talking about resonance. It is similar like that word feeling comfortable, or when we now just switch maybe a little bit different topic, but comfort zone and leaving the comfort zone. I think that we are becoming comfortable with all of the things because we have repetitively already spent time with them. The first time you are experiencing the cold, it's uncomfortable. The more you train it, the more you practice it, the more you expose yourself to the cold, I think sooner or later you are getting a little bit more at ease being in the cold. Meanwhile, also to the point where you maybe even feel comfortable outside in the cold. The same is like you're not feeling comfortable speaking in front of an audience, in front of a crowd. You practice it, oftentimes you repeat this same pattern, and then sooner or later that stage fever maybe disappears, and at the same time you're becoming more comfortable. So comfort is very often related to the fact you have already experienced, you have already went through a certain amount of times. This is why you are feeling comfortable in that situation. Vice versa, what does it now mean if something is making you uncomfortable? You are feeling uncomfortable, or you are facing the fact of being uncomfortable. That just means you are reaching a borderline. You are reaching a limit that you until now have not yet crossed often enough. Why do I think it is necessary to cross the lines, to cross your own limits and lines from time to time? Because elsewise you will be stuck in your own limited view of what you have experienced already. If you are living a comfortable life, it only means you are continuously staying inside a field of what you know already, either from this life, or you just have not proceeded yet from, let's say, past generations. So every time you are crossing that line, every time you are expanding that border, you are expanding that limit, for me this means there is some growth, there is some new discovery. Because what you are doing is, you are bringing light into a space that before that time was a space of uncertainty. It's uncomfortable because you don't know the outcome of what is going to happen if you cross that line. That's why it's uncertain. That's why people are afraid of uncertainty. But there is only one way to find out and make uncertainty become knowledge. And that one is through experiencing it. After you do it, then you know. People ask me in the type of trainings, yeah, so for what should I now stand half an hour in that position? What is it good for? Why should I breathe like this? Why should I breathe like that? Why is the finger positions like this? Why is it like this? Why are there so many different things? You just can't explain it by words. Somewhere these words are hitting a barrier. And that barrier can only be broken in the moment where the knowledge, the intellectual knowledge, starts to transform into action. And that action is going to bring you the answer. And this answer is what in our tradition we really refer as, that is knowledge now, or sometimes we call it wisdom. It is that type of knowledge that came because of your own discoveries. That is the real knowledge. The knowledge about that your teacher, a friend, somebody is telling you that you know up here. That's like the intellectual knowledge, the pre-knowledge, the type of knowledge that now, first of all, needs to transform into action. Action transforms into experience. And experience gives you what you need in order to move on. It is a method that we call, once you feel that spark or that small fire now needs to be nourished. Nourished in order for it to grow. If you are self-questioning yourself too often, if you are filled with too much doubt all the time, that is definitely one of these hindrances that is going to diminish that fire again. Once the fire is going, the fire is going. So stop investing your thoughts. Stop rethinking about why it would not work. Don't stop the fire before it even started really growing. You need to get out of that self-questioning. You need to learn to sometimes really have confidence in the power of your thoughts. Once it's in the mind already, everything can become possible if you find the way to translate what is in the mind into action, because this transformation makes things come to earth. Everything we have available nowadays on this earth started somewhere here by someone. It started here and then it ended here. Meaning there were some actions merged together with what was on the mind to bring it here visible for others and also visible for yourself in front of you, not just inside of you. Because it's becoming more difficult. They say, it's already okay here. Why you still want to move up there? It's getting more dangerous, whatever. So that means along this way, the higher you want to go, the more likely you're gonna walk alone. This is the next thing. Along the way to mastery, you walk the way alone. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Waking up and thinking too much about what to do today. You don't even reach the state of being able to immerse into your daily life because you're still in figuring out 24 hours a day what to do. You're still thinking about your life. Yeah, but thinking is something different than experiencing, than sensing, than feeling life itself. This is why all these methods, stop thinking, meditate, discipline your thoughts. Stop thinking too much. Don't go into the past. Don't go into the future. Be in the present. Why? Because only then it's possible that the mind is free, the capacity is free, and now you can completely immerse into whatever you are doing. And this means you have arrived. You have arrived. That's it. So you want to achieve something serious, you need to be serious. You can't achieve something seriously impactful if you're joking around and if you're losing your focus all the time. So that means setting priorities, knowing when is the time to invest the energy, when it is the time to release energy, when is it good now to recover, when are you really feeling this is now starting to be the limit. These are all very, very fine aspects that only you know. Only you know about yourself. When you lift the weights, only you know. People outside watching, they don't know if you're going through a struggle, if you're just warming up, they don't know. So that means to continuously integrating an internal dialogue into your practices. The awareness is with myself. I can feel the changes throughout the practice that are happening inside of my body. I can feel if something is blocked. I can feel if there is potential to release some energy somewhere and invest it somewhere else. This is like this whole idea of an internal practice, a quiet practice. And at the end, it is insight. You gain more insight into yourself. What is the result? More performance. More being able to tickle the potential out that is, let's say, sleeping inside of you. But you need to realize what is sleeping. The fact is you wake up in the morning. I would easily say many, many people, first thing they do is directly look either on the phone or whatever. It's a common thing. It's not about good or bad, it's about consequence. And if the morning is already starting with your awareness being drawn out to something which is pretty irrelevant, on the long term, then of course the way of how you're living your life is also gonna display upon that. It doesn't matter what type of practice you're doing. It is the way that, whatever it is, be aware of what's going on the inside. Use these outside movements in order to get inside. Use all of this because of the repetition. Because of the consistency that it is happening every day. This is why it's possible for you to watch deep. If circumstances are changing every day too quickly, it's difficult to find something stable about. Self-mastery, mastering something, is always about yourself. And if you want to master yourself, well, you're gonna challenge and face yourself, and this is happening alone.
somebody told me, in case I feel like in dark times, you are not alone. If this room is completely dark, I am alone. Even if somewhere behind there, I see a spark of light, I see a spark of hope, which is behind there. Yeah, but for me experiencing here, there is still the gap of darkness in between me and the spark of hope. So around me, for me, it's dark. And I don't have anybody left and right for me. So, and in this picture, meanwhile, I really think
that
to build yourself up, to have a certain amount of, let's say, responsibility for yourself. This is why I'm emphasizing all the time in all of these years, make yourself strong. Make yourself strong. We all want peace, yes. But here, in our place, we not just want to have peace. Peaceful and strong. This combination I prefer better. Listen, if from the 24 hours a day, you are like sleeping 8 hours and you still have then the rest of 16 hours to invest in something. If from these 16 hours, you are spending 10 hours sitting there thinking about how nice everything was a few days ago, well, it's just blocking you from investing these 10 hours in now starting to do something now or planning something that you want to put into place later. Emptying the cup is so helpful because it also applies to information flow at the end. Flow of if you want to learn something new. It's just not appropriate to go to a teacher, visit any seminar or any workshop when you already have like a preconditioned mindset or preoccupied mind while entering into new territory. To understand new territory, you have to become part of the territory. Along the way to mastery, way alone. You can't bring your own ideas and values, what you think, into a new territory because this is in a way limiting what is possible to penetrate into you. It's constant filling up, emptying the cup. Filling up, emptying the cup. Doesn't mean you are not learning or that you're not growing along the way because this is what the cup is doing. The cup is growing by doing so. But it is the content. It is like you read the book and after some time, you get the content of the book. Latest after reading the book 10 times, you have you understood the message from the book. But now it's possible you put away the book. The container is not necessary anymore because the message has also went into, let's say, your system. Yeah? So it's not necessary to carry the book still in your backpack wherever you are going. It has become part of you already. Unless you are collecting knowledge without putting this knowledge into practice. What is it that might be the key that you learn to let go of something? And this letting go is of course going to be uncomfortable. Why? Because it is something that no one normally, in our school systems, you don't find the subject how to let go. You find the subject how to get more. And so that means in that moment when people are getting confronted the first time with this type of teachings, it's uncomfortable. And so someone is always confronted between here, then he's brought down. Then he gets methods how he will build himself up again. Then he gets smashed down again. And so it continues. Every time when we as humans feel something is lacking, the answer is just consume more. Which means just go out and look where are you going to find something that is going to fill up that gap, to fill up that hole that you are feeling. That is the approach that we have outside. But by observing this type of behavior, I think you can see that no matter how much you consume, no matter how much of these offerings you are taking, you never become full. It's always only a question of time until your new desire starts to arise.
It always just fills that small gap, that small hole for a short moment. This feeling that suddenly something has hit really deep, has packed the core. This is the essence of what we call the Zen teachings, the Chan teachings, where the Shaolin Temple belongs into. These are the teaching methods, meaning getting out of the comfort zone is part of the process. If I realize somebody already starts to feel like very confident again, yeah, very bright, then I know, okay, it's time to shut him down again. So someone is always confronted between here, then he's brought down. Then he gets methods how he will build himself up again. Then he gets smashed down again. And so it continues. Last week you said I should do like this. So you told me to go in this direction. Today I'm asking you the same question, but you are telling me I should go in that direction. And I said, yes. 3 weeks after, Shifu, now you tell me three different things. This direction, that direction, and then once again, you're telling me in this direction. What type of teaching method is that? It is for you to figure out yourself after you have wandered between the different extremes that are existing. First, I push you in that direction. Then you walk. Then I tell you other direction. Then you walk there. Then maybe we change again. Then you walk back there. Until you realize it's not here and it's not here. It's all of that. That's possible. Discovering what type of a person you are, what type of character you are, and just to reset yourself for whatever is going to come afterwards. So, and ultimately, what for? Why should a disciple go through all of these, this type of education? Because once the cup is empty, now it can be filled up again.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.